Let's just take a minute and pray for Kristen. Father, thank you for this time. We especially thank you, Father, for Kristen's wisdom in calling our attention to you and what you are up to. Father, when we pause to think about this scenario and this situation, our hearts and our heads just can't help but be weighed down and saddened, broken by what evil is taking place in this world and in that city. Father, we can look at that way too lightly and just look at it as words and information and not let the reality of what this situation is come to bear in our hearts and minds. So in the midst of that, Father, our eyes have to be called to you and what you're up to, and I thank you for Kristen doing that in her thoughts. Thank you for doing that in her life. Thank you for doing that in the staff by JM there in that city. Father, would you please protect them as Kristen asked us to protect them, give them grace every single day, their minds and their hearts. We pray for your blessing and your grace on them. But Father, for Kristen too, we pray for your will to be done. Father, we pray that you would cause the officials in the Indian embassy to have favor, to see her application with favor and to move on it so that she can get back. Please do that, Father. And in the meantime, please give Kristen patience and grace to handle this in-between time that she really does not want and is challenging. So please help her every day to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and that she would sense a peace and hope that you are in charge, you are sovereign, you're not late, and you are working even in ways that she cannot see. So help her to trust you, Father, especially during this challenging time. And we commend her to you, and we thank you for her. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thanks, Kristen. It's pretty dangerous to kind of sit in a church service, look all nice and clean and put together. I was as I prayed, challenged by as Kristen was sharing. This is just a Sunday morning at Christ Community Church in Northern Virginia, and we're just here, we're having this church, and she's talking about things that are, I needed to catch myself and let those words and those realities not just pass by me, but to settle in and to be sad about the brokenness, the evil that she's speaking about. One of the reasons why we are so sad is because we're here today, and we're getting a word in just a moment, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all life is sacred. From the moment of conception, that life is from God. No one else can take credit for that life. It's from God. And because it's from Him, it's sacred. We need to deal with every single life with the sacredness that it is, that it has, because it's been created in the image of God. From the moment of birth, from every second in the womb until the very last second that someone breathes, every bit of life is sacred. These precious women in Calcutta are sacred and are worth every second and every dime that is risked and invested in them. But we're also here to mark the sacredness of life in the womb today with many other churches, hundreds of other churches in the United States here today. And so that's one of the reasons why we have the baby bottles out there that you can jump in. And by the way, I encourage you to take time of just weed out the pennies from the bottles. Just put silver in there and maybe some green in the bottles. Let's just do that and make them really worth the weight and the value of those bottles. Peter and Patricia Shin have been champions of this for a long, long time. We're blessed to have them part of our body and stirring us in this way. Peter and Patricia have put these cards together. They're on somewhere, a chair near you. As Patricia so well said this morning, some of us look at this situation, we're just overwhelmed. We don't know where to begin. What do we do? What can we do with everything else we have going? And this card is very helpful to break down some very small, manageable, actionable points that you and I can take about the sacredness of life in the womb. And if you want to hear more about what Peter and Patrizia are up to, they're here. Maybe you guys could just wave your, yeah, right there. So check with them and see. But take one of these cards, take a baby bottle, and trust the Lord for what's going on. What he's doing around the world and here in this country in particular. It's still kind of new, 2016, January. We're still in this first month. And the first time that we spoke several weeks ago, we just asked ourselves, God, what do you really want for me this year, 2016? You've brought this year into existence. What do you really want for me? What do I really want for this year? And a lot of that first week, we talked about getting back in a fresh way into the Word of God and reading it and studying it, memorizing it so it can shape us and change us and align us more perfectly and accurately with what God's up to. But the second week, last week, we asked the question, God, what do I really don't want for 2016? What do I really don't want? And we're in the book of Matthew. We're walking through his story of Jesus. And last week, he showed Jesus in the wilderness. We really don't want to be disqualified. I really don't want to be disqualified from this race, from loving my family, from walking with you. I don't want to be disqualified by failing temptation and not passing some of the trials and the tests that God will allow to come to my life. We watched Jesus in the wilderness last week show us and model for us what it means to handle temptation well, to handle the enemy of our souls well. Well, this week we're going to ask the question, because Matthew brings it up, we're going to let Jesus speak to our ambitions, to those areas of our life that we work hard at. We're determined to see something take place. We strive after something. We're working at something. Every day of our lives, we get up and we put energy toward things in our lives. And those things have particular goals and ends. And we're ambitious. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing to be ambitious. But what Matthew's going to call us to do this morning is to let Jesus, because he has the authority to do so, speak to our ambitions. Jesus, because he has the authority to do so, is going to speak to those areas that we put effort and time, we strive for. We're going to let Jesus speak to that. Here's a couple images that you might find helpful. One is related to a fairly typical image of ambition, mail, suitcase, stairs, I'm getting higher, I'm working. Another one is this one. I'm going to get bigger. I'm going to get to the next bowl. But my favorite one of ambition is this last one. Yeah. Yeah. He's striving towards something. He's ambitious. He's going to make that happen. You and I all have them. They're good. Not wrong. We breathe it. Especially, I think, in some respects, in this county, I don't think we're that unique, but our daughter, Anna, is in middle school, and I've already been on a field trip. I've chaperoned a field trip of middle school students of college. Anna's been on a college campus because the school system wants them to be thinking in middle school about being ambitious, putting energy and effort toward getting into college as a sixth grader. We could debate that, but bottom line is there's something to that. It recognizes that we're ambitious, something God's given to us. The question is, what does Jesus want to say to you and to me about our ambitions, about what we're striving for, about the goals and the aims with which our ambitions are taking us? So here's the simple point of this morning. If you remember one thing walking away today, is this. Matthew wants us to let Jesus speak and command our ambitions. Matthew brings up a couple scenarios this morning with Jesus where Jesus speaks about his authority. Matthew speaks about his authority, but then Jesus speaks to ambition. In the story today, it's going to be fishermen. But it's their ambition that he speaks to. So let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. The first point, the first emphasis that Matthew wants us to see is simply this. He wants us to recognize the authority of Jesus. Let that settle in. Matthew wants us to recognize the authority of Jesus. Jesus has the right, he has the ability to command adherence to what he would call us to with our ambitions. He has that right and that authority. Listen to how Matthew speaks about this and establishes this in this story. Verse 12, we don't catch this, but between 11 and verse 12, about a year has taken place. It didn't happen from the temptation in the wilderness to this verse 12. About a year has taken place. People that write about the story of Jesus speak about the first year being the year of obscurity, the second year being a year of popularity of his ministry, and the third and last year being characterized by tension. Matthew, Mark, and Luke to spend time with him. So to follow Jesus, when Jesus has the authority to speak to our ambitions, and he says, follow me, we immediately, at once say, I will go where you lead me, but I will spend time with you too. I will put energy and effort. I will be ambitious about time with you. My ambitions about other things in my life are good and right, and when I'm striving and working. But Jesus, I want you to know that you're going to see some similar striving, some energy and effort and determination and ambition about being with you. You're not going to get the afterthought of my day. You're going to get the first thought of my day. Jesus, you command that sort of attention, and I will be with you. I'll put energy and effort. I will do what you tell me to do. I will follow you. Following Jesus, it means we obey him. We do what he calls us to do. Husbands, that means we love our wives. Wives, it means you love your husbands. As Christ loved the church, we respect each other. There's this love, there's this commitment, whether we feel like it or not. This past month I was switching my schedule from 2015 to 2016, and I remembered in 2016, earlier last year in 2015, early in January, I needed to be in a courtroom in Madison County, Virginia, because of authority, because I was going down a hill that Cindy was encouraging me to be very fast. She was encouraging me to get to her uncle's birthday party quickly. She was encouraging me. Did I make that point? She was telling me to go fast. And so I did, because I love her and I do what she wants me to. So I'm going down this hill, and sure enough, right tucked in there, a lot of UVA students do the same thing, by the way, because they're on their way back to school. Sure enough, state trooper pulls out. The point of putting this in right here, I didn't debate how I was feeling, whether I wanted to pull over or not. And I don't feel like it. It was the authority of those lights spoke through my emotions. And I did what the authority was telling me to do. And when Jesus speaks to us to love our spouses, children, when he speaks to us to obey our parents, there's just an action required there because of the authority of Jesus, not based on our emotions. Do love. Do obey. This obedience is immediate. It's doing, it's right away. It's doing everything God tells us to do with a right heart attitude. So if we postpone obedience, it's disobedience. If we do just kind of pick and choose obedience, we have partial obedience, it's not the obedience God's looking for. And if we pretend, if our heart's not right, that's not the obedience God's looking for. He wants it immediate. He wants it complete. And he wants it with a right heart attitude. Jesus speaks to our ambitions. He says, follow me. And Matthew is calling us, and Jesus is calling us to respond with, yes, I will follow you. I will go where you lead me. I will be with you, and I will obey. I will love. But I will also look at my life work as fishing. Realize this. When Jesus said to Peter and John and Peter and Andrew, James and John, when he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, he was speaking into their livelihood. So when Jesus says to us, I'm going to make you fishers of men, he's not calling us to fish. It's quite obvious, I think, to most everybody here. He's going to speak into our livelihoods, those areas that we put energy and direction in, our ambitions. And I'm going to show you how to share Jesus. No matter where you might be working, Jesus is going to show up because we're following him into those areas of our lives. Wherever that might be, whether you stay at home, whether you go out of the home, whether you go to school, wherever it is you're following Jesus in your day, whether it goes to India or whether it's to Trailside Middle School, we listen and we follow. We let him inform how we can let Jesus be who he needs to be in our ambitions, wherever we may go. It means we pray, we care, and we share. Simple little trilogy that helps me remember. Wherever we go, and when Jesus says, I'm going to teach you to fish for people, what does that translate to into your ambitions? How does fishing for people, loving people, taking Jesus where you are, how does that show up in your boat? With your nets, with your skills, your abilities, whatever work you do, how does Jesus want to teach you how to fish for people, to love people, to share Jesus in the midst of that? As I looked over our directory and thought through you and your lives, I was really encouraged because that's a theme. You do this, but Jesus is speaking to us too. You could be in the hospital. You could be working. It doesn't matter. You show up. IRS, Defense Department, schools, classrooms, wherever it is, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you're taking Jesus with you. And I see that. But one story that I want to just highlight briefly is my mom and dad. That came to my mind. My mom and dad have had this passion, this desire to let Jesus speak into their ambitions, into their lives. Dad started as a traffic controller with FAA after college, then went to the Pentagon, spent 25 years in civil service at the Pentagon, Department of Defense. But he took Jesus into the Pentagon because Jesus was in him. You've heard some of these stories if you've been around before. I remember as a kid, as a little boy, walking into his office and seeing a Bible on his desk and hearing people speak about him, hearing him go to Bible studies. How he worked. He was ambitious. He put time and effort into his work, and he accomplished some things. At the end of his career, he was the administrative assistant to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And the speechwriters for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff would walk across the hallway in the day before internet, get Dad's Bible in case they wanted to make some biblical references in the speeches of the chairman. So yes, Dad did put effort and energy toward his career. He wanted to do it well, and he rose to the highest civilian next to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff back in the day. But he did it because of Jesus. Jesus was informing and speaking to his ambitions. It happened in their home on Kent Street. They took Jesus into their neighborhood. And when they celebrated an anniversary years back, some neighbors came and they spoke about the impact of mom and dad in their lives and just loving them. They didn't walk over to the fence with their Bible and begin to preach to their neighbors. They just loved them, cared for them, prayed for them. Made a big difference. Many of you are doing that as well. They made money so the gospel could go to people that have never heard the gospel. The reason mom worked too long, she worked too long, is so they could keep up a level of giving. Because her work enabled them to give some to various missionaries. If you were to walk into their home at Ashby Ponds now, you would see in their kitchen a bulletin board about this big, covered with missionaries' faces, people that they pray for regularly. The reason they earned money was one of their main reasons, so they could see the gospel go. So lastly, Jesus has the authority to speak into our ambitions, your ambitions, mine. He says, would you make it your ambition to follow me and to fish, but also make it your ambition to share the good news of the kingdom. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread through all Syria. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, demon-possessed, having seizures, paralyzed, he healed them. Large crowds, this was the popular year of Jesus' ministry. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, the Roman side of the world there, Jerusalem, Judea, the region across the Jordan, they all followed him. He heals the sick. The good news of the kingdom is healing. That's not a bad word to summarize the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom, that's what he is calling us to be ambitious about sharing, is healing. The king comes and he heals our relationship with God. He's the one mediator between God and man. He heals that. He heals our relationships in our marriages. He heals our relationship with our kids and with our parents. He heals relationships. And he does bring healing physically. But the challenge of the kingdom is there's an aspect of the kingdom that is now, but there's also an aspect of the kingdom that is not yet. Jesus came now and he healed. But there's a fullness of the kingdom that is still coming, the not yet. The now we see partial. We see glimpses. We have peeks into the kingdom that's coming. Someday, though, there will be a fullness. That's why all healing does not take place right now. He does heal, and he can heal miraculously. But he chooses in his sovereignty sometimes not, because this is partial, and he's working through that. But there's a not yet in the kingdom, and he is coming. I want to encourage you just to pick up this yellow sheet of paper. Take some time to read through the passages that we're going to be reading. They're out there. You can grab one. But before we come together, like next Sunday, read the passage. We're going to actually do, Jeff's going to go into the Sermon on the Mount just a bit. But read that before the worship team's going to come up. And I'm going to close this with a song as I pray. But I'm going to pray, and I'd like you to join me in this prayer, that you would just let the Spirit of God seal and speak to you in the particular ways that he needs to and wants to about your ambitions and the authority of Jesus to speak to those ambitions. Let's pray as the worship team comes up. Father, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his authority. His ability and His right to speak to us. Father, You've put in our hearts a lot of different ambitions. Good ambitions. Things that we really do want to put effort toward. Strive toward. Work hard at. But Father, I pray that You would speak to our goals and our aims and the whys. Why do we want to be working so hard? Why do we want to do what we do so well? Father Jesus, speak to us. Help us understand what it means to follow You with ambition, to love people, to share You with ambition. Father, thank You for the good news of the kingdom. Thank You for the healing that You bring to our relationship with You and others, to the healing You bring to our bodies and our minds and our souls. Father, for many in the room today that are still in the not yet, the healing's not complete. There's still much pain, much uncertainty. Please, Father, give us grace and wisdom and patience to handle the not yet, the in-between. But Father, we look forward to the fullness of Your kingdom. Help us to look forward to that with hope and confidence and trusting You in the meantime, in the not yet. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.